This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Doug with the sports for Friday, the 10th of May. Auto racing starts at 3 p.m. today on FS1 with the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series qualifying from Darlington Motor Speedway. Then at 5 a.m., it's the Xfinity Series qualifying from Darlington on FS1. And at 7:30 tonight, it's Craftsman Truck Series from Darlington at 7:30 on FS1. Golf, the PGA Tour, the 2024 Myrtle Beach Classic, round two at 9:30 a.m. on golf. The Regions Tradition, 2024 Regions Tradition, round two at 11:30 a.m. on golf. And then it's the PGA from Wells Fargo, second round at 2 p.m. on golf. Horse racing, America's Day at the Races, 2 o'clock on FS2, and again at 5 p.m. on FS2. Major League Baseball today, St. Louis and Milwaukee, 8 o'clock tonight on MLB, and the Reds at San Francisco at 10:15 tonight on Bally Sports Ohio and 700 WLW. NBA basketball, Eastern Conference playoffs, New York at Indiana, 7 p.m. on ESPN. Western Conference playoffs, Denver at Minnesota, 9:30 on ESPN. NHL hockey Eastern Conference, Florida at Boston, 7 o'clock tonight on TNT. And then Edmonton at Vancouver in the Western Conference playoffs at 10 o'clock on TNT. Tennis, the Italian Open, ATP WTA second round, 5 a.m. this morning it started, and again at 6 a.m. on tennis. Here's what's on air tomorrow. Auto racing, NASCAR Cup Series qualifying, Darlington, 10:30 a.m. on FS1. Xfinity Series Darlington, 1:30 tomorrow on FS1. Then at 3 o'clock on NBC, it's the IndyCar Series pre-race, followed by the IndyCar Series Grand Prix at 3:30 on NBC. Fishing tomorrow, Bassmaster Elite Series number 5 from Lake Murray, 7:30 a.m. on FS1. Golf tomorrow, PGA Tour, the 2024 Wells Fargo Championship third round is at 1 o'clock on golf. It moves over to CBS at 3 p.m. Meanwhile, at 3 p.m., the 2024 Myrtle Beach Classic round 3 takes place on golf. And at 5 p.m., it's the Regions Traditions, 2024 Regions Tradition, round 3 at 5 p.m. on golf. MLB baseball tomorrow, Atlanta at the Mets, 4 p.m. on FS1, and then the Reds at San Francisco at 7 tomorrow evening on Fox and 700 WLW. And then Kansas City at Los Angeles Angels, 9:30 tomorrow night on MLB. NBA basketball tomorrow, the Western Conference playoffs, Oklahoma City at Dallas, 3:30 p.m. on ABC. And then the Eastern Conference playoffs, Boston at Cleveland at 8:30 on ABC. Over in the National Hockey League, Eastern Conference playoffs tomorrow, New York Rangers at Carolina at 7 o'clock on TNT, followed by Dallas at Colorado in the Western Conference playoffs at 10 p.m. Soccer men, English Premier League, Manchester City at Fulham tomorrow morning, 7:30 a.m. on USA. At 10 a.m. on USA, it's Luton Town at West Ham United. At 12:30 on NBC, it's English Premier League teams TBA. And at 7:45 tomorrow night, it's Cincinnati FC at Columbus Crew. 7:45 on FS1, Apple TV, and 15:30 a.m. Soccer women tomorrow, Bay City FC at Orlando Pride, 7:30 p.m. on ION. Tennis tomorrow, it's the Italian Open, ATP second round, WTA third round at 5 a.m. and 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, both on tennis. And UFL football, St. Louis at Birmingham, 4 p.m. on Fox. And that is the on-air. Here is the upcoming. FC Cincinnati at Columbus tomorrow night, 7:45. May 15th, they have Atlanta visiting at 7:30. May 18th, St. Louis comes to town at 7:30. The Reds, Friday at San Francisco at 10 p.m. Saturday at San Francisco at 7:15 p.m. and Sunday at San Francisco with a 4:05 first pitch. Xavier has landed Fletcher through the portal. Let's see what this one has. Shelby Dermer has to say. One of the final two scholarship spots remaining on the Xavier's roster has been filled. According to CBS Sports' John Rothstein, Florida State transfer forward Cameron Fletcher is the latest Xavier addition through the NCAA's transfer portal. Fletcher entered his name into the transfer portal April 29th as the sixth transfer to land with the Musketeers over the last 6 weeks, joining Marcus Foster, John Hoogley, Dante Maddox Jr., Ryan Conwell, and Lucina Terror. Fletcher, a former four-star forward from St. Louis, Missouri, began his career with John Calipari's Wildcats in 2020. He spent one season in Lexington and transferred to Florida State, where he played the last 3 years. After playing in 29 games off the bench for the Seminoles as a sophomore, Fletcher is coming off back-to-back injury-plagued years that ended his season during non-conference play. Fletcher averaged 10.8 points per game as a starter for Florida State during the 22-23 season, but a right knee injury ended his season in December. 1 year later, coming off the bench, Fletcher suffered an injury to the same knee in a road loss to Carolina and was sidelined for the remainder of the season. For his collegiate career, Fletcher has averaged 6.7 points, 4.1 rebounds per game while shooting 43.9% from the floor. He's shown the ability to step back and connect from the perimeter too, knocking down 41 three-pointers in 46 career games at Florida State. Majority of minutes for the next season were already on the roster for Xavier, but Fletcher is a solid depth piece at the forecourt who could fight for the time off the bench. Xavier has one scholarship remaining for the 24-25 season. The Reds have lost 11 out of 13 through yesterday, and it's doubtful they're going to improve a whole lot in San Francisco. From the front page, Encarnacion Strand lands on the injured list. Scan reveals a new wrist fracture. The Reds signed Mike Ford. Charlie Goldsmith wrote this one. 11 days after Cincinnati Reds first baseman Christian Encarnacion Strand suffered a fracture in his right wrist, he discovered the full extent of the injury and landed on the 10-day injured list. He's expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks. On April 27th, he got hit by a pitch in the right ulnar styloid, which is part of the inside of his right wrist. A follow-up scan revealed an old fracture that he was already playing through, but Encarnacion Strand said the old fracture wasn't connected to the injury that landed him on the injured list on Wednesday. It took some time for the new fracture to show up, especially right around the old fracture. It was hard to tell. After CES got hit by that pitch on April 27th against the Rangers, he missed 4 games but didn't go on the injured list. He returned to the lineup on May 3rd and went 2-for-14 with 2 singles over 4 games before he went on the injured list. I knew absolutely nothing about the new fracture, he said, wearing a brace over his right wrist. It was like the old one is fully recovered and healed. I just got inflammation out and it'll be okay. It didn't really progress. He said that the new fracture revealed itself on a follow-up scan after Tuesday's loss at the Arizona Diamondbacks. Following that game, he spoke with the training staff and coaching staff about the pain he was dealing with, which led to the follow-up. I wasn't able to hold onto the bat. I feel like I wasn't able to be who I am as a hitter. Last night, that's when I really realized it. I said, hey, I've got to take a step back. I'm not helping the team by doing that, so I went and got it checked again. Unfortunately, on my part, is the fact that he was even out there with that Reds manager, David Bell, said, I feel bad that he was playing through that. He's very tough, and he was doing everything he could to play. I give him a lot of credit. He was clearly playing through a lot of pain, and he didn't let on, which is normal for players. There's a lot of pain tolerance there, a lot of toughness, but it was pretty extreme trying to play through that. In a corresponding move on Wednesday, the Reds signed first baseman Mike Ford, who posted a solid 798 OPS with the Seattle Mariners last year. He's a left-handed slugger, didn't find a big league contract offer before the start of spring training, and signed a minor league deal with the Reds. His contract gave him the opportunity to opt out at the end of spring training, as well as at the end of the first month of the season. After his first opt-out in April, Ford returned to the Reds organization and reported to AAA with the Louisville Bats. He posted a strong 920 OPS with the bats before opting out of his contract last weekend. This time, Ford said he was weighing a few offers on the free agent market, including interest from overseas. The Reds called him on Tuesday night. He was officially on the big league roster on Wednesday afternoon. He actually played last night. Carnesian Strand's at-bats will likely be divided between Ford and outfield designated here, Connor Capel, who was called up in AAA on Tuesday afternoon. Jaime Candelaro and Spencer Steer will also play more first base than they had been playing this season. I think we got lucky that Ford was still out there, Bell said. I'm sure it was a matter of time before he landed somewhere. We're glad to have him here. All right, here's a Hell as Real preview from the Real front page, written by Pat Brennan, and the title is, Does FC Cincinnati Have a Columbus Crew Problem? Does FC Cincinnati have a Columbus Crew problem? It's a question the Inquirer considered since Columbus defeated FC Cincinnati in December 2nd Eastern Conference Final. It was the opening prompt to put FCC head coach Pat Noonan during his Thursday news conference at the Mercy Health Training Center. Not an intentionally open-ended question, it was going to be interesting to see how Noonan interpreted the question. This was his response. I guess it depends on who you ask. I think they're a very good team, and that's a challenge for us, the same as everybody else. So you know, again, what's a problem? You know, we've got the better of us last year in two of the three games, and then I guess in 22, you know, the coach, different group, different coach, different group. That year, I don't think we got a victory, so I think it's safe to say I'll only speak to our staff period of working together, but they've gotten the better of us, so in terms of results, that's fair. FC Cincinnati sitting in second on the Eastern Conference and Columbus Crew sitting fifth renew the Hell is Real rivalry series Saturday at lower.com field at 7:30 p.m. Again, just as on December 2nd, the clubs meet as part of Major League Soccer's elite class, and as always, bragging rights will be on the line. Beyond that, there usually wouldn't be too much more to take from a regular season match played in May, but the game might hold some added meaning for FC Cincinnati, which is seen in its region of the state as lagging behind its in-state rival. Even though FC Cincinnati defeated Columbus in the regular season last year at TQL, the perception at some corners of the FCC fan base is that the Crew are getting the best of the rivalry. For some, the gap between the clubs in terms of meaningful wins is a wide one, and a hard point to argue after the club's first-ever playoff meeting last year. The prospect of visiting Lower.com Field is especially grim for one of FC Cincinnati's supporters. FCC not only lost all three of its trips there, but it hasn't scored in 194 minutes of game action at that stadium. Yap Stam was still the FC Cincinnati head coach the last time FCC scored at Lower.com Field. Isaac Katanga and Ronald Matarita, two players that long ago departed FC Cincinnati, are the only players the club has seen score at that stadium. FC Cincinnati is undoubtedly in a kind of golden era in its MLS existence. That fact is underscored by a Supporters Shield winning campaign in 23, playoff berths in consecutive years, and a wide array of individual accolades achieved. Columbus still overshadows FCC in some of the most important ways, though. A week after hoisting the Eastern Conference Championship Trophy at TQL Stadium, Columbus defeated Los Angeles FC to capture its third MLS Cup championship. Since Columbus was celebrated as a stylish champion of its attractive on-field style, also. That same style carried over to 2024 and helped the Crew this spring defeat back-to-back heavyweight Mexican clubs to reach the CONCACAF Champions Cup final. A victory June 1st against CF Pachuca in the Crew's latest tournament final would see Columbus qualifying for a coveted spot in the 2025 FIFA World Cup, Club World Cup. Just this week, a refresh of the CONCACAF club rankings, which is affirmed by merit-based point system, saw Columbus jump four spots to become the number one ranked club in all of North America, North and Central America, and the Caribbean. The plaudits, trophies, and high-profile matches keep rolling in for Columbus, which is occupying a place in the domestic and international soccer universes that FC Cincinnati still aspires to. Noonan, we have to respect Columbus. The arrival of FC Cincinnati's date with Columbus on Saturday produced some gloomy conversation about the Hell is Real Derby on social media channels, even though Cincinnati happens to be rolling at the moment. Cincinnati travels to Columbus on a three-match winning streak. It almost couldn't help winning the flawed 1-0 match at Orlando City FC SC Cincinnati scored 17 seconds into the contest and played a man up for almost an hour due to Orlando's red card. Eventually, Cincinnati ceded its man advantage due to a red card to Brett Halsey and had to eke out the victory, with Orlando threatening to equalize several times while shorthanded. We know that this wasn't our best performance, and it was something that we could learn from because, like I said, it's good to learn from winning and to learn from when we lose, FC Cincinnati midfielder Obinna Nabwaba said of the win at Orlando. That game was supposed to be one of our best performances for us to be able to have a real goal at that time in a game and then have also one man up. But we were not able to do that, and we almost got punished for that. Luciano Acosta, the reigning most valuable player of MLS, keyed the attack during the winning streak with a goal in each match. Acosta is already up to 5 goals and 5 assists in regular season play. Interestingly, Cincinnati's offense seems to have opened up in the absence of a designated player forward, Aaron Bupenza. After averaging a goal per game through 8 regular season matches, Cincinnati has 5 goals over its last 3 games, a period where Bupenza was either scratched from the starting lineup twice or out due to injury. Bupenza was benched for April 20th and 27th wins against Atlanta United and the Colorado Rapids, respectively, and played just 15 minutes combined over those games. Bupenza was out due to a broken jaw and related surgery for Saturday's win at Orlando and is scheduled to miss up to 7 further weeks as he recovers. Defensively, goalkeeper Roman Salentano is among the statistical leaders at his position, even though he missed a month with an ankle injury. The shutout at Orlando with Salentano's lead leading fourth, league-leading fourth of 2024. FC Cincinnati's defending is tied to Real Salt Lake and Columbus for the fewest goals allowed in 2024 at 9. The latest on Columbus. Columbus' position is 12th place in the league's wide standings. Might look pedestrian, but that's a deceiving look. The crew at 3-1-6 have lost just once in their opening 10 league matches, and that's coming during a head-turning run in Champions Cup. With the June 1 Champions Cup final weeks away and not having played since closing out CF Monterrey on May 1st in the Champions Cup semifinal round, Cincinnati is preparing for the crew's strongest possible lineup on Saturday. I think they'll have their strongest group available, and you know that could be in any number of players because they do have, I think, really good depth, Noonan said. I see no reason why we wouldn't get the strongest version of them, and I think they've navigated the Champions Cup in a really good way to obviously get this to this point and get to the final. But you look at the league play performances and having to rotate players at different times, Columbus still, you know, only lost 1 game. And while there's a lot of draws in there, if you just look at the performance of the group and the consistency, and they're still performing in a strong way in league play, and we certainly expect their best. Chuco Hernandez is pacing the crew with 4 goals, while Yaibo and Diego Rossi have notched 4 and 3 assists, respectively. Columbus head coach Wilfred Nancy, who has successfully implemented a high-tempo, possession-oriented style in his first season with the crew in 23, has proven to be a tough out for FC Cincinnati. Since Nancy became head coach at CF Montreal in 21, FCC is 2-5-1 against Nancy, who is widely respected and praised by his peers. One criticism of Columbus so far in 24 might be that his possession hasn't yet produced high-volume scoring. The club's 12 league goals, that's one fewer goal than FCC, whose scoring difficulties have been well-documented and often dissected, ranked 21st out of 29 MLS teams. That statistic is limited to MLS regular season play, though. In Champions Cup, Columbus has proven itself a viable attacking threat in over 2 matches against now former number one ranked CONCACAF side, CF Monterrey. The crew pushed 5 goals past Rayados. That included a 3-1 win at Monterrey's Estadio BBVA. Cincinnati scored just once against the same Monterrey team in the tournament's round of 16. I think their composure under pressure is certainly something that separates them. Noonan said you can have good ideas about how you want to get pressure to the ball, and they can still have one-versus-one moments from the back line all the way, you know, to their front. They can all play under pressure, and if you lose their individual matchups and their individual pressure's broken, well, now they have some really good movements and players that can advance with the ball, players that can find forward passes that really put your team under pressure and back lines under pressure. So that I think the ball is certainly something that continues to stand out about Columbus. I also think defensively they probably don't have enough credit or talked about enough because in certain ways, because of how they move up the field, they do a good job of being able to win balls immediately or at least find ways to get pressure to the ball immediately. It's not one player. We know who carries a load at times with Cucho Rossi and obviously a big piece there. You could look at Yubo, Mohamed Farsi, Alexandru Matan. I haven't even mentioned the midfield. I think the midfield pairing of Aiden Morris and Darlington Nagbe is as strong as we have in the league, if not the strongest. So it's just a well-balanced team, and we have to respect that. The game tomorrow, again, is at 7:30 p.m. at Lower.com Field in Columbus. It's on Fox Sports 1, Apple TV's MLS Season Pass, free for this game, and ESPN 1530 Radio. Columbus leads the all-time with FC Cincinnati an 8-3-4 record. Saturday is the club's 16th all-time meeting. The Cincinnati.com predicts Columbus Crew 3, Cincinnati 1. And that's the end of that article. All right, let's talk Bengals and Jason Williams real quickly here. Williams, Joe Burrow thoughtful on an 18-game NFL schedule. Will Roger Goodell listen? He wrote this yesterday afternoon, so it's relatively fresh. Message: Joe Burrow had thoughtful and candid comments about the possibility of an 18-game schedule. He said there'd be more money for the NFL, but raised concerns about players' health. What do you think of expanding the schedule? Here's Williams' reply. The NFL's money-grubbing knows no bounds. Commissioner Roger Goodell has mentioned the idea of an 18-game schedule, meaning it's probably inevitable. Then a few years after that, the NFL will look at a 19-game schedule, then 20 games, and then every time Goodell and the NFL officials will likely give lip service to player safety, blah, 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 whatever. An expanded schedule could lead to more injured and fatigued players, but the Goodell and team owners watered down football and another fall weekend is better than no football. Ka-ching. I like Burrow's suggestion of adding a second bye week and making it like an NBA All-Star weekend, giving every team the weekend off. Good luck with that. You really think Goodell's going to go for a weekend off from games late in the season when playoff races are heating up? The NFL added a game to the schedule starting in the 21 season, expanding to 17 games. Surprise. Quarterback injuries have increased. In 22, some 68 different quarterbacks started a game. Last season, when Burrow and several other high-profile quarterbacks suffered major injuries, 66 different players started at the position. In 22, the number of concussions across all positions increased by 18%, according to the NFL. Most of the increase could be attributed to quarterback concussions and head injuries, according to USA Today. Isn't this a quarterback-driven league? Don't you want to see Burrow versus Patrick Mahomes in late December vying for the number one seed in the AFC playoffs? But neither the NFL nor its diehard fans seem to care. More money, more beer. More hits on the field and in the stands. More football. The weak NFL Players Union will go right along with it. Whatever Roger says, more money for the players, more money for the owners. Good luck not getting hurt, fellas. So fans clamor for an 18th game, but don't complain when Mitch Trubisky, Easton Stick, Tim Boyle, and other backup quarterbacks become the face of Game 18 when your team needs a win to make the playoffs. All right. The top 25 in 25 high school football. As the summer rapidly approaches, pads will soon clash throughout high school's football fields in Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky. The recruiting trail is heating up for the class of 25. Here are the 25 recruits in Greater Cincinnati you might see committing in the next few months before hitting the field this fall. Number 25, Jael Harris Withrow, 6 feet, 180-pound running back, 3-star recruit, is committed to Central Michigan on April 25th. He's a Purcell Marion junior. He's the Miami Valley Conference leading rusher, racking up 2,109 yards and 29 touchdowns, a first-team Ohio selection. Number 24, Jonah Hayes Moeller, 6'6", 250-pound edge rusher. He's ranked by 247 Sports as a number 80 recruit in Ohio for 2025. And a 3-star recruit. He had 14 tackles for the Crusaders, including 2 for loss. He holds 8 offers, including Virginia Navy, Marshall Army, and Georgia Tech. Number 23, Dylan Stewart Connor, 3-star recruit. He's 6'4", 280-pound offensive lineman. He has an extensive sheet, including offers from Army, Eastern Michigan, Navy, Western Michigan, and more. Number 22, Trace Zalek Anderson, 6 foot, 390-pound athlete, a three-star recruit, number 49 player in the Ohio class of 25. He was a receiver and a running back and finished with 120 catches, 1,267 yards, and 12 touchdowns. 21, Damiel Rogers, Winton Woods, greatest defensive backs to come out of Winton Woods, possibly. 5'9", 161-pound corner, is a three-star recruit, the 58th player in the class of 25. He has offers from Toledo, Boston College, Georgia Tech, Marshall, and West Virginia. Noah King, Hamilton. King was previously at Fairfield, where he averaged 22.8 yards per reception over the last two seasons in total. He had 21 catches for 478 yards and six touchdowns, including a 97-yard score in a loss to Mason last year. Raphael Green, Winton Woods, number 19, 6'6", 320 offensive tackle. Kentucky, Purdue, Vanderbilt, Pittsburgh, etc. are looking at him. 17, Maddox Arnold Elder, a second-team All-District and honorable mention Ohio selection last year. He's third in the Greater Catholic League South in tackles and 87. 6'2", 225-pound linebacker. He already committed to Toledo. Jemison Kitna, Lakota. That name sounds familiar. I think that's David Kitna's kid. He's got offers from Indiana, UAB, Baylor, Duke, Kansas State, Syracuse, and some more. Eric Gale, Withrow, number 15, three-star edge rusher. Gale is the number 36 player in the 25. He's a second-team all-conference. He's already committed to the Bearcats. He had 30 tackles last year, 7 for loss, 4 sacks, and a forced fumble. Number 14, Dylan Smith from Ryle, 13 games for the Raiders last year with 56 tackles and 8 sacks. He's already committed to Louisville. Paul Nelson from Princeton, number 13. Nelson's a reigning Ohio Division I defensive player after registering 89 tackles in a Greater Miami Conference best 12 sacks last season. He's 6'2" and 205 pounds. He's got offers from UC, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Illinois, Michigan. Oh, Illinois is in there twice. Michigan and Michigan State. Drayden Pavey of Taft, All-Ohio selection, had 53 tackles, 7.5 tackles, and 12 tackles for loss. He's got offers from Purdue, Indiana, Wisconsin, North Carolina, UC, and Michigan State. Trey Verdon of Hamilton is number 11. 6'2", 225-pound defensive lineman, had 77 tackles, 14 for loss. He's already committed to Iowa State. Tucker Caddis from Xavier, that's Eric Caddis' son. 6'5", 285-pound tackle. He's a third Caddis brother to Landon Lexington. He's already committed to Kentucky. Siana Stewart, Winton Woods, 6'2", 180-pound athlete. Stewart is a top 25 recruit. He's got offers from... Wow, a whole string, including UC, Minnesota, Penn State, etc. Caden Pinning, Anderson, 6'4", number 31, a tight end for the nation, or he's number 31 in the country as a tight end. He's got 20 Division I scholarships. We're not going to read them all. Gordon Stolfstad, Xavier, 6'5", 240-pound defensive lineman. He's the top 20 prospect in Ohio for a class of 25. He's got a whole string, including Wisconsin, Harvard, UC, Miami, Minnesota, Purdue, Stanford. And that is all we've got time for, and have a great day.